You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back on Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
Well, on everybody, I'm live with another edition of the Southernmost Sports Wrap, and as usual, I am actually on my phone today. This is how I actually do this all the time. But I normally, I've been on Skype the last few months, and I liked it, but Skype is just not good. Very, very bad with the staticky, and also it hangs up after 30 minutes, and I just had to switch over back to the phone, so hopefully the show goes good. Just some top news, more NBA basketball today. Game 3 is on tonight, 2 eliminations already today, the Celtics eliminating the Hawks, 83-80. And also the other game, Philly actually getting the win, knocking out the number one seed Bulls. Obviously, the Bulls banged up. And, you know, it's unfortunate for them, a long season. And so much hope for them, obviously, with the best record in the NBA. And just some injuries kind of kept them from advancing any further than the first round. Clutch free throws by Iguodala. I believe he's on the line. With 2 free throws, down by 1, about 2-3 seconds left, and he hit them both. So clutch free throws for Iguodala. I believe he's 4th on the team all year in scoring, but obviously, you know, he's their best player. So, coming through in the clutch right there. 2 series are left. 1 is going on right now. Game 6, it's at Denver. LA's trying to eliminate them. They didn't do it the last game. The Nuggets are actually winning at LA. And this is game 6. If the Denver wins, it'll be game 7. And Meta World Peace will actually be back for game 7. Either way, they'll have Meta World Peace for the next round if they do get to the next round. And I say if because I'm telling you, Denver's been playing really well. They're up 13 right now. They were up pretty good last game too. They're showing a lot of life, a lot of energy, and a lot of confidence. And you know, if you can do those things well, you can definitely win a series. I know it's LA, and honestly, the series kind of just seemed really obvious that LA was going to win, but, you know, they probably will, but don't count them out, the Nuggets. And Kobe is playing today. He had a stomach virus, but he's a go, so we'll see if that has any effect on the game and his scoring. James Harden won the Sixth Man Award today. This award given out to the players, you know, each a sixth man is basically, they don't start ever, but they still play a lot of minutes. And Ginobili's won it a few times, but this year it is James Harden, who's had a pretty good year. He can score with the best of them, so kind of expected that, though. And the MVP award still has not been awarded, so we'll wait for that. Earlier in the week, Floyd Mayweather defeated Miguel Cotto. Wasn't really close. I think Cotto definitely gave him a run. I believe Mayweather said that was the toughest match that he's ever had. Mayweather remains undefeated. And Cotto, I mean, landed some big punches, but when you look at the stats, it really wasn't that close. I'm actually going to get more into boxing later on. I would invite Scott Diaz. He's from Key West. And he's really big into music, and he's really big into boxing. He has his own little league down there. And just thought it'd be interesting. I'm actually starting to get into boxing a lot. I like it. But there's a lot I don't know. And I just want to hear opinions and learn some stuff tonight. from somebody who knows, you know, who does know a lot and has been through it and has experienced it. So I'm going to be inviting Scott Diaz on the show in about 10 minutes. So be prepared for that. A lot of bounty news. It's really escalated. It really was quiet, and the suspensions were given out to the players, and a lot has come out. It's kind of just came out with the junior sale and his suicide. Now everything's kind of coming together because they're saying his suicide was linked to CTE, a disease caused by concussions, and they said 18 out of the 19 people that they tested for CTE that had committed suicide and played the NFL, 18 of the 19 were positive for CTE, so definitely a link to that, and we're, you know, they're thinking Sal definitely was suffering from that. It's just a weird, weird disease. And you take a guy like Sal, who's 100% positive person, would never commit suicide. In his mind was that, I mean, severe to, I mean, that disease made him want to commit suicide. It's scary, to be honest with you. And I was wondering why he shot himself in the chest. That also seemed kind of, you know, weird for a suicide attempt. But now, if you think about it, if he shoots himself in the head, then they can't test him. They can't test his brain. So that's basically what we're thinking he did. But more on that in a bit. Just the bounty in itself. Also, just more things are coming out. Chris Carter came out, a former wide receiver for the Vikings, saying that he did have, they did bounties back then too, just for different reasons. He was kind of talked about his prior experiences playing with guys like Bill Romanowski and, you know, the fact that Romanowski would threaten him. And he stated that Romanowski wanted to end his career, hit him that hard and stuff like that. And that's when Chris Carter said he would put a bounty and you know, pay guys to hit the guy that was threatening him more in self-defense. And, you know, he said there's really not a problem with that, and I don't think there is. But just from what the Saints are being accused of is doing it specifically to end people's careers and then to hurt them, injure them, you know, that's not right. So still a lot, you know, it's murky water. You know, you don't know, we can't really – nobody knows really what happened exactly, so it's. But there will be more to come. Earlier today, actually, a email had been found from a guy in prison. Just talking about, I believe it was an imprisoned friend from the Saints coaching staff. He there was an email found that he had emailed saying, "Put me down for $5,000." And it was talking about Aaron Rodgers and trying to hurt him. So we'll see how much more they find. It seems like they're finding a lot about the Saints. And I know this maybe has been happening, but just the Saints are kind of crossed the line. And either way, if you're wondering why, all the punishments have been happening to the Saints. Roger Goodell is just trying to set a standard, trying to do something. You know, they can't arrest everybody. Not arrest, but you can't put fines on everybody. So he's just got to start somewhere. And Saints won, yeah, maybe they're just bad timing, but at the same time, they have done, it seems like, a lot more than any other team. But obviously, there's so much more to go, and I'll definitely be talking about this next show. Big news, Josh Hamilton hitting 4 home runs versus the Orioles 2 days ago. And it's funny, it's the same team that, same matchup about 2 or 3 years ago, the Rangers had also faced the Orioles and had won 30-3. I remember talking about that, I think, on my show a while ago. That was also a crazy game. I remember looking at the box score for that 30-3 win for the Rangers, winning by 27 runs in one game. And I believe they only scored in 4 innings. I think 3 of the innings, it was like 8 or 9 runs they had gotten. So only 4 innings they scored, but they hit 30 runs. And a lot of comparisons between both of those games and which one was more impressive, and I think the 30 runs probably is, but Josh Hamilton went 5-for-5, 4 home runs. I believe he had 18 total bases. It was just a crazy, crazy game for him. And he had talked post-game saying that he had never even had a 3-home run game, so he got a 4-home run game before that, so it's kind of cool. And obviously a guy who's been in and out, you know, relapse and his alcohol problem, and what he's been able to accomplish is great for him. So hopefully, you know, he can I think a couple weeks ago he had a small relapse back in the in a nightclub where he was drinking a little too much. But you know, some people go through that, and he really has excelled. So hopefully, you know, he doesn't have any more problems. But what he's done since is great. Last player to, I think only five players total have done this now, the four home runs in a game. Last one was Carlos Delgado in 2003. Like I said earlier, well, yeah, the six teams that have officially advanced to the next round, the Pacers, Heat, Thunder, Spurs, Celtics, and 76ers. And from what I heard, game one for the Pacers Heat will be Saturday. There may be a first-round playoff matchup still going on, though. We'll see, depending on this outcome. And the game six tomorrow for the Grizzlies and the Clippers. Today, Kobe Lewis, interesting stat line for him, gave up five home runs versus the Orioles and had 12 strikeouts in a loss. He only gave up five hits. All five were solo home runs, and they lost 6-5. That's the first time anybody's given up five home runs and still had 10 strikeouts since 1918. It's kind of a crazy game for them. It's been a crazy series, but it'll be fun to watch. And what I have, Scott, in about 3 minutes. Oh, also, Tiger Woods in the Players' Championship, he shot a 74, which is a 2-over in the first round. Your leaderboard is Poulter and Lard have 7-under to lead that, so he's 9 strokes back after round one. So that's not good for him. So much mixed emotions. The media saying that he's, you know, not going to get back to where he was. Tiger just said, you know, hey, I've been through this before. Don't worry, I'll be fine. So we'll see what happens with him. But it looks like another failed attempt at the Masters, or the Players Championship. So we'll see, you know, if he can improve. It's 9 strokes is kind of far for him to come back, but you know, we'll see if he can make a run. If not, we'll see what, you know, the next tournament, how he plays. We'll keep an update on him. You know, I said it. I said he'd be back. I said he'd be fine. So we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. Here, I do not have my buzzer sound. Oh, yes, I do. We'll get into some NHL while we're waiting for Scott. And just moving on to hockey, though, there are one series left, actually. Yep. Second round is pretty much over. One more game. Game 7 versus the Capitals and the Rangers. The other three series, the Kings and the St. Louis Blues. I already talked about the Kings in the first round winning. They were the AC, so they played the number one seed, Vancouver. And took them. I almost swept them. It was 3-0. They gave Vancouver game 4. Still won the series 4-1. Very impressive. And then they faced St. Louis, who's the number 2 team, and swept them 4-0. So they're the hottest team in hockey, no question. And who will they face? They're going to face the Phoenix Coyotes, who finished off Nashville 5. And this is the farthest Phoenix has ever gotten in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So new territory for them, but they will be at home hosting the Kings. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. I'll look at the schedule in a minute to see when they're going to be playing. The Kings, obviously, very hot. So we'll see how the series is going to hand out. I have the Phoenix winning, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the Kings are still the Kings. They're still the AC. They obviously have faults, or they wouldn't be an AC. But you know, when teams get hot, they get hot. You look back about 5 or 6 years ago, about 4 years ago, actually, when in baseball, Colorado Rockies had like 20 games in a row they'd won. They entered the playoffs, the hottest team in baseball. They swept the first two series that they played. They got to the World Series, and they had to wait. They must have waited a week or something, and by the time that they got to face the Red Sox, they got swept themselves. So we'll see if that has any kind of effect. But obviously, hockey is a sport like no other. It's not really dominated by height or anything. It's just how teams are playing at the moment. So hope the Coyotes can win that one. Like I said, they haven't been here before. We'll see how that shakes out. And it appears that we do have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
What's going on, Big G?
Hey, what's going on, Scott? I just want to welcome to all my listeners, what? Scott Diaz. He is... How about we take... actually, you know what? I don't like calling from Skype that much, but I'm going to call it in.
Okay.
Just stay on the line, and we're going to put on... I'm going to put on a... I was going to put the Sad of the Week song on, and I'm going to call back from Skype just to... I was going to be back about a minute, all right? So, let's take a quick break, all right? All right, everybody. Can everybody hear me now?
I hear you loud and clear there, bud.
Awesome, awesome. Well, dang, stuck in the staticky, though. I don't know what's wrong with your phone. I don't know.
Maybe you want me to try to call back from a landline, maybe?
Yeah, if you can. I don't mind it, but it's just really, really bad. I can't hear really what you're saying.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll call you right on back from a landline.
All right, guys. No problem. Just give me a call back and put you back in the air, man.
All right, man.
Thanks. Not sure if it'll be in seconds. Just what I was talking about before is continuing my hockey. Last series that was going on was the Devils and the Flyers. Devils, remember, knocked out the Panthers in Game 7. Unfortunate, but you know what? The Devils are doing something with it. They win the series 4-1. So the Devils advancing to play either the Rangers or Washington. They will host. They will be the home team if Washington wins tomorrow. But they will be on the road to face the number one seed, the Rangers, if the Rangers win. Excuse me, the game is on Saturday. And the like I said, the Kings and the Coyotes will face off in the second round, in the championship series. And then we'll see what happens there. Game 7 will be, get into the schedule. Yeah, it'll be Saturday at 7:30, actually, on the, I guess, the NBC Sports Network, which has been playing all the hockey games. I'm not sure if they have the schedule set out for the rest of the other teams. I'm not sure if they have it set up yet. No, they haven't set a date for the Western Conference. So we'll be talking about that, obviously. It should start by the time the next show starts. So we'll see how the Coyotes can hang with them. I'm going to have to definitely eventually get somebody on to talk about some hockey. I know a lot about basketball, football, baseball, hockey and boxing, not really my strong suit. But I do enjoy it. I really enjoy the playoffs, and it was definitely a heartbreaker when the Panthers lost. But we'll get into that. And speaking of boxing, we do have Scott back on the line. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, Tyler?
There we go. That's what I like to see.
Oh, okay, much better now. Okay.
Awesome, awesome. Well, yeah, really happy to have you on. Last thing I wanted to do was not get everything that you're trying to tell me. So it's all good.
Okay.
So let's start over. I'll start fresh. This is Scott Diaz from Key West. He's really big into the boxing and music. Those are your two passions, am I right?
Yes, definitely. Music and boxing have definitely been two big playing fields in my life, and always loved them both. Always had a big passion for both of them. So I'm glad I've actually been, I've actually been able to do it down here, and there's actually been somewhere in the community down here for me to do it. So.
So what do you go back to what you actually do as far as boxing? What do you do? What do you guys do right now?
Well, as far as boxing wise, I used to compete in amateurs. It took a bit of time off. I wanted to try out coaching. You know, I've always seen a lot of great boxers in history. One boxer in particular, whose name is Robert Garcia, who's a great champion, is also a great trainer. He trains the likes of Antonio Margarito, Brandon Rios, and his younger brother Mikey Garcia, and actually is the coach for Kelly Pavlik, who just made a dramatic comeback with a second round knockout on Showbox. It was on one of the Hispanic channels. I think it was Azteca, and he made his comeback on that. But I've always been curious as to see, you know, if being a trainer, coming from being a boxer, would benefit me any, and it actually, you know, it actually has. I've actually learned a little bit more than what I had when I was, you know, in the ring competing myself. So, but I'm a volunteer coach down at the Police Athletic League. You know, I don't get paid for it. You know, what the payment is for me is seeing these young kids grow and become, you know, more disciplined and have a more respect for, you know, who they are, and then see them really grow in the sport. It's something that's really a payoff for me. So,
well, yeah, I've lived in Key West, and you know, definitely the kids down there, I can definitely see room for improvement, I guess. You probably do see it. It's probably fun to see them grow and to find a passion. I mean, when you're not doing anything, it's hard to see the passion in somebody. But when you put them out in the ring and give them a goal. And...
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you get a young kid in there, you know, that's maybe come from, you know, a troubled, you know, house, or has never had really anything to go for, or set his mind towards, and you know, there's a lot of young kids and even a lot of grown-ups that, you know, come into the gym, and they're like, you know, I just want to try out boxing just to see, and not realizing that some of these people actually have a natural knack for it, or they just, you know, they have a knack for it once, you know, they throw the first punch or the first time they spar, you know, they're like, yo, you know, they're like, I love this, you know, this is really awesome, and then, you know, they try to pursue a career in it. And that's something there that I love to see coming from, you know, the sport that I'm very, very passionate about.
Definitely, man. Definitely, man. So, how about you? Do you plan on getting back in the ring soon?
I do. I took a little bit of time off just to go ahead and see, if I could learn anything more on the coaching side of things, which I have. You know, I've definitely learned. I've definitely seen more. It's opened my eyes. You know, seeing what a coach sees. You know, it's really something really interesting. I do plan on getting into the ring. I really want to get back into the ring maybe towards the end of this year. That's what I'm looking towards. Towards the end of this year, I'm definitely going to, or I'll definitely start fresh next year. And Florida State Championships will definitely be my goal at the end of the year next year.
That sounds cool, man. Yeah, I see you have a lot of goals, and it's just I see a lot of passion from you. At least, you know, you're trying your hardest to do whatever it is you love, and a lot of people could take a lesson or two from you.
I definitely want to give a big shout out to my coach Ricky, Ricky Jackson, who's been there with me from the get go. He showed me everything he's ever known. He's accumulated plenty of years of experience, and I definitely want to give a big shout out to my man Logan Atwell, who, you know, opened up his studio to me and actually let me fulfill more of my dream of becoming a musician. So I definitely have to give a big two shout outs to both of them, and for you, Tyler, to being a big supporter of mine. So,
nah, it's cool, man. I like music too, and you know what you're doing is awesome.
Your mixtape is constantly played in my car. Just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah, for all my listeners, I have actually put out, call it a mixtape, I guess. But yeah, I made a little music just to see what I could do. I kind of always wanted to do it too, so I was a little impressed with myself, I guess. From what I had, it wasn't that bad, you know. But getting back into boxing, let's talk about the Cotto Mayweather fight. Let's start with the first thing. Was that really? I mean, I saw Justin Bieber and 50 Cent carrying out all his belts. Now, I can imagine he has a lot of belts and he can't carry them all himself. But what was the reason? How did Bieber and 50 Cent kind of make it into the mix?
You know, Mayweather, man. You know, Mayweather is Mayweather's always been the guy who's always wanted to outdo somebody. He's always wanted to show his, you know, his brass, his cockiness, and you know, really show off his, you know, his wealth. And that was just a way of him trying to be big and bold to say, like, you know, look who I know. Like, you know, for those of people who have been keeping up with boxing and you know, watched the past couple 24/7 episodes, which is a what HBO does. They show you the behind the scenes, what they do on the weeks leading up to training. 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather have actually become very, very close, good friends. So Floyd actually walked out with I'm sorry, not Floyd. 50 Cent actually walked out with some of Floyd Mayweather's belts when he fought Victor Ortiz, which that was a very, very controversial fight. But to, with Justin Bieber and also Triple H, for those that, you know, watch wrestling, Triple H actually walked out too. He was, you know, kind of hard to see him, but you've seen him eventually. But yeah, that was all just to show a wealth of, you know, of who he is and, you know, the people he knows. That's basically all it is, to sit there and be like, you know, look who I know. And I think it would probably be because some of the younger audience, you know, that some young people, they do like Floyd Mayweather. You know, some
well,
don't.
Well, it
you know,
seemed like he was trying to reach out with the, grab the younger people's attention with the Justin Bieber act. I don't know.
Definitely. I mean,
it was,
you know,
funny.
Like I said, you know, some of the younger audience, you know, they really don't care much for Floyd. You know, some parents think Floyd Mayweather sets a bad example for the way he represents themselves. But, you know, we actually have a new coach down at our gym. His name is George Smith. He used to train Tommy the Duke Morrison, who was a former heavyweight champion. And he's, you know, he knew Floyd in the amateurs. And he said Floyd's always been cocky and like that since he was a really, really young kid. So, you know, it's really nothing new, but yeah, that was just to show, like, you know, look who I got, look who I know, you know, money gets me everywhere, basically. So
Mayweather said definitely his toughest fight, and I would agree. I think just based on, I mean, he landed some punches, he made him bleed a little bit. Would you say that definitely was his hardest fight that he's had?
I would definitely say that's his hardest fight. The main reason saying that is because I actually thought Mayweather's hardest fight was when rest in peace to Diego Chico Corrales. I thought that would be his most difficult fight. For one, Floyd Mayweather's only 5'8", and I believe Chico Corrales was 6'1", maybe 6'2", and, you know, Floyd ran through him like, you know, like a hot knife through butter. But with the Cotto, you know, I definitely think Cotto was his toughest test, mainly because Cotto's not afraid to stand and bang with anybody. And that's why, you know, Floyd, I know Floyd knew that Miguel Cotto was going to come after him, but I really think Floyd didn't expect Cotto to land as many jabs as he did. Miguel Cotto was very, very dominant with the jab. The main reason Floyd would catch him is, you know, Floyd is very quick. Floyd's, you know, training consists a lot of reflexes and timing. And that's where he nailed Cotto.
Well, you know, I heard that Pacquiao and Cotto actually fought, so I YouTubed it last night, checked it out. I mean, pretty bad, more than what Mayweather did to him. And that's kind of what the comparison I was making. You know, I obviously, biggest talk about in any sport really is Pacquiao-Mayweather. Everybody kind of says Mayweather, and they said it's his speed too, but I saw Pacquiao's speed, and I got to say, I don't think that could be a really deciding factor. Or an X factor of any sort. I think they're both super fast, and I think Pacquiao would do it, man. I like his work ethic. But one of the questions I was going to ask you is, one, I don't want to ask you will it happen, because it's got to happen. That's just,
right.
It has to happen. And one, why hasn't it happened yet?
Okay. Let's start off at that. Let's start off way back to when it all started happening, as to when Manny Pacquiao had moved up to the welterweight division. He was running through the top guys in the welterweight division. The Miguel Cotto fight, it was a beautiful fight. Don't get me wrong, definitely showed off Manny Pacquiao's skill. But that fight, I didn't really care much for that fight. Mainly reason is Miguel Cotto was really drained. Miguel Cotto, everybody knows, is a top middleweight. He's fought at 154 pounds for the past couple years, and when he fought Manny Pacquiao, he actually had to fight Manny Pacquiao at a catch weight. Now, a catch weight is when two fighters agree to meet at a certain weight that is not a main class
to
fight in.
Right.
Yeah. So they fought at 147 pounds. You know, Miguel Cotto had plenty of trouble making that weight. It was completely drained. But, you know, there's always no excuse for it, but that was one of the factors in Manny Pacquiao's victory.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But when it started, you know, people started asking Floyd. They're like, you know, Floyd, you know, you're 40. You know, this was back when Floyd was just, I think he was 40-0. The question arise, you know, you have an amazing skill level. You're the pound for pound. Manny Pacquiao is quickly climbing that ladder and almost taking your pound for pound crown. Well, of course, being the person that Floyd Mayweather is, he didn't like that whatsoever. So that's where it started with the question of who is the pound for pound king and who is the best boxer in the world right now. Will that fight happen? Eventually, it does have to happen. Regardless of how it happens, it will have to happen because this is one of those things that keeps people like myself up at night to wonder, you know, what if this doesn't happen? How will we know? How will we decipher who was the best pound-for-pound king
exactly.
of boxing during, you know, our time period? Why hasn't it happened? The reason
it's like the,
why it
it's
hasn't
like, yeah, it's like the playoffs. Like, it seems like everything's happening. We're ready for the Super Bowl, and it just doesn't kick off yet.
Right.
You know, you can't end the season without a Super Bowl.
No.
That's the way I look at it, really.
Right. Well, I mean, and what's really prevented this fight is Manny Pacquiao's promoter, who is also the owner and CEO of the biggest boxing promotion in the world, which is Top Rank. The owner of that is Bob Arum. Bob Arum ran some of Muhammad Ali's legendary fights, promoted them before Don King came around. And the reason it prevents it is because Floyd Mayweather does not trust Bob Arum. The reason he don't trust Bob Arum is because Bob Arum still owes him plenty of money from some past fights that Floyd had fought under his company and never got paid a full amount for or what he was promised to get paid in a contract. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is Floyd Mayweather believes Manny Pacquiao is using performance-enhancing drugs. Mainly the reason for that is, well, not mainly just Floyd, but there's a few other boxers that have, you know, claimed to say that Manny Pacquiao uses PEDs. But Floyd's argument was that there's no way that a 5'6" Filipino could come up from 105 pounds and, you know, start dominating every single weight division, you know, from 105 to the 140-pound weight division, which is welterweight. And he even fought Antonio Margarito at Dallas Stadium at 154 pounds. So that was Mayweather's judgment. That was his suspicion as to saying, like, you know, how is it possible? You know, they talked to Manny Pacquiao's trainer, Alex Ariza, who had stated that, you know, Manny Pacquiao eats over 7,000 calories a day. You know, he runs anywhere from about 6 to 7 miles a night, day and night, actually. You know, he's constantly working out. And if anybody has YouTubed Manny Pacquiao's media workouts or any workouts in general, you would see that Manny Pacquiao has to go through a hell of a lot of training to maintain where he's at and to maintain, you know, his muscles and, you know, to maintain what he has. The other claim that Floyd made was that, you know, there's no way that somebody could come up and, you know, still keep all their power and speed. Do I think Manny Pacquiao took performance-enhancing drugs? No, I don't. You know, some people just have that kind of body to where you can just keep it, man.
Totally agree.
Well,
and even just on the subject, even if he did, yeah, it is cheating, but you know, he obviously he's not taking any shortcuts. He's doing everything. He's doing, you know, he's still intensely. I mean, you gotta give the guy better either way. He's like, he's saying, all right, well, let's do this instead of no. He's like you said, he's running seven. I run a lot. If you ran 7 miles a day, it's incredible. Just to go along with the dieting and everything else that I'm sure he has to go through.
Right.
You know, it's not like it's unfair or anything. It's It shouldn't. Well, you know. I just don't get it wrong. Like he's cheating or anything. He's definitely putting the work.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, Manny Pacquiao's a hell of an athlete, but in the main and third final reason why this fight has been prevented for so long, besides the steroids, besides, you know, Bob Arum owing Floyd Mayweather money, the third and main reason is the purse split between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather.
I heard it was he wanted 80-20, am I right?
Well, the way it had happened first, Mayweather had came out and said, yes, he wanted an 80-20 split. Not that long ago, Floyd Mayweather had actually called Manny Pacquiao while he was in the Philippines. For those of you who don't keep up with boxing, Manny Pacquiao is actually in the House of Representatives he's a congressman for the Philippines in the Sarangadi province.
I didn't know.
he was sworn in, he took... it was about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. About 2 or 3 years ago. Floyd Mayweather had called them, and this was the first time these two have ever talked to each other. And they started negotiating, talking to each other about what happened. Well, Manny Pacquiao told Floyd Mayweather that he wants a 50-50 purse split and, you know, everything that it comes with it, you know, gate percentage, pay-per-view. What they make a lot of their money off of, too. So.
Yeah. Well, just really quickly, I understand that they already get paid a lot of money to box. I believe the guy, like, close to 30 million for COVID. And I even heard it might be up to, like, 80 million if they ever play Pacquiao. So they get money. They get that money, and then explain this purse. How does the purse gain money, and how much is it usually worth?
The purse gains money depending on the fighter's net worth and how much they would bring in if they were to fight, and how much the fighter is worth. Like I said, the net worth. If the net worth is not that much, you won't get paid that much. Like I actually have a professional fighter that I'm coaching. I'll continue to coach even when I start competing again. His name's Daryl the Country Boy Eccles, who made his professional debut this year down here at Mallory Square on ESPN Friday Night Fights. We actually got paid pretty decent for our first fight, which was about $800. You do not make much starting out until you start, you know, getting noticed and, you know, start getting bigger and better fights. But it's based on the net worth. Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao right now have the highest net worth out there for boxers and are worth the most for the boxers. And the way that came about is in order to pay these guys net worth when they would begin the fight, it was rumored at 80 mil. But they upped it up, and it was going to turn out to they were going to make about maybe 100 mil, and that's where Manny Pacquiao wanted that split. He wanted a 50-50 split of $100 million, and Floyd Mayweather told him no, wasn't going to happen. So that's where the fight knocked off.
So the purse is what pays them?
Yeah, your purse is what you get. Your purse is what you sign on your contract to get paid. So go ahead.
The thirty million that he made versus Cotto, that was part of the purse.
Right, that was part of his purse.
Okay.
So win or lose,
you get the same amount of money.
Yeah, win or lose, you get the same amount of money. All right. And that right there, I believe was, I think that was Miguel Cotto's highest paid purse. I thought it was Manny Pacquiao, but I might be wrong on that.
What did he make?
Because I believe Miguel Cotto, I want to say he made maybe about a mil or two more fighting Pacquiao than Mayweather, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
What was the split, though, for Cotto and Mayweather?
The split for Cotto and Mayweather was, it wasn't a fair split.
It was definitely more for Mayweather.
Yeah, so you would probably say, you know, maybe any, you know, maybe, you know, maybe a 740 split, maybe, you know, somewhere around there. But yeah, they definitely, you know, if you end up fighting Mayweather, you're never gonna get the big chunk of the purse, definitely.
To get anything. I mean, 80-20 is not even close to being fair, and you know, they're equal. I really don't find much difference between the two fighters as far as his talent and stuff. And
It's to me, it's 50-50 all the way. And eventually, Floyd's just going to have to give in because he's going to have to fight him. And he knows he wants to fight him so he can earn the ultimate crown. So. Pacquiao wants to fight. They both want this fight to happen. I mean, I'm assuming correctly.
Of course, they both want the fight to happen. The only thing that is really preventing this fight from happening is it's not the boxers, it's the promoters. It's what's preventing this from happening. And that's been happening a lot in boxing lately. One case would be Sergio Martinez, who's been the reigning middleweight, the top middleweight guy for the past couple of years. He was actually in line to fight boxing legend Julio Cesar Chavez's son, Junior, for his title, and the promoters don't want that to happen because, Chavez is their golden boy. And that happens with a lot of promoters. A lot of promoters, they try to sugarcoat, their golden boys throughout their whole career, and then their golden boys ended up getting beat, and then, their stock drops down, and then they have no choice but to, maybe eventually cut them if they can't get them a comeback fight. But with Mayweather and Pacquiao, To be honest with you and give you my complete and honest prediction of what would happen, I would say Manny Pacquiao would beat Floyd Mayweather.
Okay.
Manny has a very, 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 very weird style that works for him. Manny comes in, with rapid punches. Manny doesn't come in with, a
one-two. I saw that. He just goes in. He goes in. I like it. It's better for the sport.
No, it's an amazing style. Hats off to Freddie Roach for constructing it to be more of a boxing style. As you've seen in the Cotto fight, Floyd likes to get in the corner, and use his Philly, his Philly shell defense, which is the way he places his arms, which is his left arm he crosses his chest and puts under the elbow of his right arm. He moves around side to side. And Manny wouldn't go. I know Freddie Roach would tell Manny Pacquiao not to go for that. Manny Pacquiao would make Floyd Mayweather stand in the middle of the ring with him and trade, and that would really be the only way Manny Pacquiao would win. If you really watch Floyd Mayweather's fights, and even if you watch the Cotto fight again, you can tell that Floyd Mayweather does not have that amazing of an arsenal for his offense. Floyd Mayweather has two punches. Straight right lead hand and a left hook. That's what works for him. He's not a combo puncher, but he knows how to throw those right and times them perfectly. Therefore, that's the reason why he always wins on points, which is why really a lot of people don't like him because he's a boring fighter, and that's the reason why.
I don't like fights that are just back and forth, like nothing really going on, I want to see some action, some hits.
Yeah, and Cotto was the only one that was, pressing the action for the whole entire 12 rounds. And that's why, a lot of people want him to fight Manny Pacquiao. One thing with him and Manny Pacquiao, if they would fight, the big rumor was that, and if you were to, buy the pay-per-view was maybe going to run you $100 to watch these guys fight, just to pay their purse.
Yeah.
To watch them fight. Do I think that's a little ridiculous? Yes. You're definitely chancing it, paying $100, because you don't know if it's going to be a snooze fest. You don't know if it's going to be the craziest boxing match you'll ever see. You don't know. But
well, with Pacquiao style, he's going to force Floyd to, to do more. He's going to have to come back and swing. There's no way he'll win with the amount of punches that Pacquiao throws.
Exactly. That's exactly what I know Manny Pacquiao will do. And Floyd Mayweather has a really suspect chin. He's been caught a couple times. I remember when he fought Sugar Shane Mosley a couple years ago. Shane Mosley caught him with a straight right hand, and Mayweather, being sneaky that he is, but kind of smart that he is, grabbed hard to Shane Mosley's right arm so that way he wouldn't go ahead and fall and get that knockdown and lose that round. Because in boxing, if you knock somebody down, you pretty much stole that round if you were doing pretty good to begin with.
Yeah, I just, everybody's like, oh, he's never lost a fight, blah, blah, blah. If you've never been knocked out, you're kind of vulnerable to me. You never experienced it. You don't know, you always have that in your back of your head, like, well, one day it's maybe it's going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know.
And that's definitely true, man. I've been in a couple fights where, I have felt the canvas. And I tell you, when you get back, when you stand back up and even when you go into your next fight, that is always a lingering thought in your mind. Like, well, is this going to happen again? But, you got to shake it off because the more you think about it, you're not going to be able to get out your head. You won't be able to concentrate on the fight. And, you can end up getting hurt that way. That's definitely not a good thing to get hurt in boxing, especially with a lot of the head trauma some boxers sustain. It's definitely not a good thing.
Just the last thing I just was curious about. I'm sure yours isn't as intense as, like, professional boxers, but what kind of diet do they have? I mean, just really briefly talk about their exercises to get to where they are, how much or what they eat, and how about on game day? I mean, do they carb load? What's the deal with all that? And what do they have to put their bodies through to get in the ring and to be at a high low?
Well, the way it starts off is it all depends on what you're trying to do. It all depends on if you're trying to gain weight or cut weight. Some boxers, they walk around pretty heavy and they have to cut weight to drop to their weight. Some boxers walk around low and they have to move up to get to their weight class. Usually you don't start preparation until about 10 to 8 weeks. That's when you have your training camp. It's a 10 to 8 week long training camp. And that's when you'll usually start and when you find out if you have a fight. When you're not training, you still do want to watch what you eat because, you never know when you're going to get a call. But what they eat, like I said, if you're trying to, gain up to get to your weight, of course, you're going to have to eat some carbs, put a little bit of fat in your diet. We try not to put too much fat in our boxers' diet, just enough to give them a little bit of energy and maybe to burn off. You definitely want to keep vegetables to keep that in. We try to stay away from you definitely want to stay away from greasy foods. You don't want to eat anything really fried or baked. You definitely want, something you want to grill. I definitely tell my boxers, whatever you eat, make sure it's grilled. Grilled chicken breast is probably, God's gift to boxers. If there's nothing else to eat, you can go ahead and eat some greens and a grilled chicken breast, you're good.
I dropped down like 30, 40 pounds one time. It was a whole month. All I did was eat chicken breast and vegetables. I just cook it on the grill and eat it. And it's a great thing to eat.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the best thing. And like I said, if you're trying to gain up on weight, you want to eat a little. You don't want to overload on carbs. Usually they have. If your trainer knows enough about, and your trainer's been in the boxing game enough, they'll let you know what to do because they've been around for a long time. They know the tricks. They know what to and what not to eat. Either that or they'll suggest you to go get a nutritionist, which some nutritionists, are expensive, but, you don't really have to pay too much for a nutritionist, a good one, just to let you know what you can and what you can't eat. But usually the way a training camp goes, you'll start off your first week, maybe coming up with a game plan, so you'll start working on your technique. Maybe about 2 or 3 weeks into the training camp, you'll start sparring, and you'll bring in sparring partners who actually do their best to duplicate the guy that you're going to be fighting. And then about the last three weeks, you'll work on perfecting your technique, and definitely that's when you'll definitely want to start watching your weight. Day of the fight, again, that goes back to if you're trying to gain or lose to stay at your weight, they have a thing called an unofficial weight, where after they rehydrate, when they come to the arena fight night, they get them on the scale and they weigh to see, where they rehydrated at. Some boxers rehydrate very high, some rehydrate, very little.
But that doesn't affect the fight night going on or anything. Right.
No. That's like when Victor Ortiz fought Floyd Mayweather. Victor Ortiz actually put back about 14 pounds back into his system, rehydrating, which was I figured he might have been trying to put power back into his body, but usually boxers don't gain that much when they rehydrate. Some gain about anywhere from 4 to 6, maybe 7 pounds, but 14 that kind of had me like, whoa.
Well, I've seen one person try to lose weight, and he didn't eat for 3 days. He was spitting into a cup. It just seemed horrible. But
yeah, I mean, and you know, and like we tell our boxers, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, it always worked for me. You do have to put somewhat amount of fat in your system, and a decent amount of carbs to lose the weight. You have to give your body something to burn. You have to give your metabolism something to work, and your metabolism is what's going to help you lose weight.
Right.
If you have
a very slow
metabolism, you're not going to lose the weight. So you do have to have a fair amount of fat and carbs to keep in there. And the main thing we tell all the boxers to stay away from, I tell all my boxers, I know every other trainer will tell the boxers, stay away from sugar, because sugar will not help you. And cutting or gaining weight, it will just hurt you even more and slow you down.
Yeah. Yes. I internally I know all these things. I've always been trying to get. I exercise a lot actually, but I just I like eating and I like drinking sodas and alcohol. And it's not good for the body. It's not good for the body.
No, it's not good for it's okay to have a cheat day every now and then, you know. You know, I tell my boxers, you know, go ahead, have a cheat day, you know, if you want, you know, eat a pizza, you know, drink a Coke or two, that's not that bad, but, you know, just don't do it every day. You know, you're allowed to have a cheat day.
Yeah, Obama, actually, his method is every 10th meal can be whatever that they want, and the 9 meals prior have to be healthy.
He's in pretty decent shape, so, and, you know, it definitely works for him. But, you know, you got to get a diet that works for you. Not, you know, somebody, you know, you could write a book about a diet. Yeah, it might have worked for you. You know, doesn't mean it works for everybody else, you know.
Well, you said it best. It's just some people just have metabolisms. I honestly don't have a good one. I have to work pretty hard to lose weight. So some people just, you know, some people can do whatever they want to do. It's just different metabolisms that people have naturally. And but you're right. Not eating is the worst thing you can do. What your body does is by the time that you actually eat something, it doesn't know when you're going to eat next, so it stores everything as fat. And so it's always better to eat small meals throughout the day and keep your metabolism going. That'll actually lose your weight. But and that's honestly, is there anything else? Well, one question, I have two last things. One question, you probably don't want to choose, but if you had to choose between music or boxing, what would you choose?
You know, that's actually a very good question. That's like asking me what my favorite liquor is. man, you know, honestly, it would probably have to be music. I can be myself in the ring, but, you know, I can really be myself more with music. I can really express myself more. You know, there's a lot of things I can't do with music, and boxing is pretty one-dimensional. So, you know, I can really be free with music. So if it was music or boxing, I would have to choose music. But boxing will always be in my heart, though.
What was your proudest moment, if you had to choose? What's the moment you look back to a lot throughout any boxing you've done in your career?
My proudest moment, honestly, would probably be one of my amateur fights was, you know, I was very doubtful. I was definitely going through a lot. You know, I was questioning myself, what I wanted to do with my life. You know, questioning if boxing was for me, and I had a lot of bad things going on in my life. I was facing a lot of bad things. You know, I lost my uncle, I lost my aunt, I lost my grandmother in the same year. So I was definitely going through a lot. I was an emotional wreck. And, you know, the guy I fought was a, you know, very tough guy. And I ended up going in the ring for 3 rounds, just slugged out with him. And probably that was the most emotional fight I ever had because, you know, I stood my ground with this guy. I went, you know, 3 rounds, and we did nothing but swing at each other for 3 rounds. And I came out victorious with a majority decision. And that was probably my proudest moment in boxing because of what I was going through. I pushed myself. And I became victorious, and that's a way of showing that no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what's going on, if you push yourself and you want it and you're hungry for it, anything will happen for you. So that was probably my proudest moment.
Awesome, man. Awesome, man. And other than that, thank you for joining the air. Just one for me
definitely.
And definitely listeners. I don't like to stick to – I can just, you know, talk about football, basketball all day, but I do like boxing, and I want to get more into just watching it, and I think it's very interesting. It's kind of lost its population. One is mixed martial arts, MMA. Do you like MMA more than boxing? I mean, I know it's hard to say no.
I really don't like MMA more than boxing. Boxing, you know, you can't take somebody to the ground and sit there and lay on them for 3 minutes till the round ends just to save, you know, your butt. You have to stand and bang with boxing. You have no choice but to go toe-to-toe with the man in front of you, whereas in, you know, MMA, you know, if you're afraid of this guy, you got a pretty decent ground game. You can take him down, lay and pray to win. Boxing is losing, you know, a lot of fans to MMA because, one, MMA is a very, very exciting, you know, sometimes high-paced sport, you know, that delivers plenty of knockouts and plenty of spectacular matches. And boxing is just getting too controversial, you know, with people using drugs and cheating. And, you know, well, boxing has always been a crooked game. And, you know, I'm pretty sure MMA will get there too, especially, you know, there's a lot of bad things that have been going on with MMA recently.
Yeah, it seems more of a ruthless sport. And I like MMA. When you're actually fighting in a real life, you know, there's no rules. And there's really, apart from a couple things, there's really no rules. You can, as long as you make them tap out, you can do whatever you want for the most part,
right.
You know. And I think it's cool to see more of what you can do as a fighter. And there's more than one aspect. There's ground game. There's kicking. There's so much things you can do. But boxing definitely is pretty cool, and I'm going to start following
it
a little more.
You know, I tip my hat off to the MMA guys. You know, you really got to have some, you know, strong, you know, balls of steel to, you know, to step in there and do what these guys do.
Can you imagine stepping in the ring with Brock? I mean, well, you know, now he got defeated, but he's so big. Then,
yeah,
can you imagine?
You know, Brock was a monster, man. But you know, like I said, you know, I do know a few MMA fighters, and some MMA fighters have really, like I said, I'm not down talking the sport at all. But some MMA fighters, even professional, have really, really sad work ethics. They don't train that hard. You know,
yeah.
I've seen MMA. I'm down at my gym every day, almost all day. I see some of the MMA fighters train, and then I see my boxers train. And, you know, my boxers put themselves through hell to train because they want to be better. You know, some of the MMA guys, they push themselves not as hard as they should and not as hard as they really need to. And of course, the one subject I always bring up, that if you ever put an MMA fighter in a ring with a boxer and all you can do is punch, the boxer will knock an MMA fighter out all the time just because, you know, they really have no technique when they punch. I get a lot of, you know, crap for that, but, you know, it's true. You know, put a boxing match next to an MMA fight, you know, and look at the way they punch, put it on the split screen, and, you know, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for calling. Is there anything you want to talk about? Just anything you want to promote or about anything upcoming for you?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, give everybody a reminder, like I said, at the beginning when I called in. In case they didn't hear, we're having our very first amateur show at our gym. You know, we've had plenty of these before at the Key West High School, but this is the first one we're doing in the facilities that we train in, and we want to welcome anybody, you know, that's more than welcome to come. It's located at Truman Annex, which is the very end of Key West. Our gym is located literally right smack dab next to the entrance to Fort Zachary Taylor. So if you find your way to Fort Zachary Taylor, our gym's right next to it. We welcome everybody to come. We're going to have a great time. Actually, Logan Atwell, who is my business partner in music, will actually be DJing that night, you know, keeping the tunes going while keeping everybody hyped up with some tunes. And we just really want to show the community, like, look, we're here. We want to stay here. There's been some controversy with our gym maybe being taken away from us. We want to show the community that, hey, look, you know, this is our gym. We want to stay here. So we invite the community to come out, you know, support, you know, amateur boxing, support, you know, the local youth who are trying to make a difference in their lives. And, you know, the admission is $5 for students and $10 for adults. Any kids under 2 get in for free. Also, I would like to let people know that my professional boxer, Darryl Eccles, will be will be fighting for a second time up in Tampa on June 1st at the Alacordier Arena. We'll be fighting for, I think it's Fight Time Promotions. We'll be going up against Alfonso Black. Daryl also has a Facebook page. You can go ahead and search him, Daryl the Country Boy Eccles. The Country Boy is in quotations, and country is spelled with a K. Also, tonight I will be working on a Facebook page for my boxers. It will be the Key West Fighting Conks boxing team. I'll have that up soon. You know, you guys can search that in the next couple of days. I'll have it up. And that's about it.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you again for calling in and weighing in and giving us your knowledge of the sport. And definitely want to have you on again in the near future. And good luck with everything, and keep it up. And you're an inspiration to me. And anytime you want to call in and just give a shout-out or promote anything, just let me know.
Definitely, man. Thanks a lot, Tyler. You know, like I said, dude, I appreciate it. I love, you know, people saying, you know, I'm an inspiration. That means a lot. And like I said, brother, anytime you need me to call into the show for anything, man, you know, you support me. I support you, my man. So anytime, you know how to get a hold of me, and I got you, my brother.
All right. Thank you, and have a good night, man.
You too, my man. Take it easy.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. It was definitely a long conversation, a long interview, but not a dull moment. A lot of the things that I didn't know. Hopefully, he taught you a little bit about boxing, and we'll have him on the show another time. So back to, I know I left off on hockey a long time ago. Just to refresh on the hockey, the NHL playoffs, the four rounds that were going on in the second round, the four matchups, the Kings and the Blues. Like I said, the AC, the Kings prevail again, this time sweeping the Blues 4-0. Phoenix just defeated Nashville a couple nights ago. They win the series 4-1. The Devils, after beating the Panthers in 7 games, finished off the Flyers in 5. So they're advancing. On Saturday works out at 7:30. It'll be on the NBC Sports Network, Rangers, Capitals, and we'll see who advances to play the Devils. And then the winner of those matchups between the Kings and the Coyotes goes to the Stanley Cup. And whoever the Devils face that matchup, whoever wins will go to the Stanley Cup and face off. So keep you guys updated with that. And really quickly, I got 20 minutes left. Let's quickly run into the NBA. And it's halftime right now in the Lakers-Nuggets game. Denver's up 54-45. Just try to stay alive before it's game 7. Like I said, I already talked about the teams that advanced. So the next matchup will be the Heat and the Pacers. I believe game 1, I think it's on Saturday. That's what I heard. A lot of people talking about that series. I don't think it's, you know, the Pacers are good, but compared to the rest of the East, which I don't think the Eastern Conference is very good at all. So I think the Heat are just too dominant. I say 5 games, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. There's been some talk about the Pacers maybe even giving them a run. We'll see what happens. I can't wait on that one. I think the Heat will roll through them. The other series will be the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Boston will be hosting that series. We'll see. Both of them have played each other quite a lot throughout the year, being in the same division. So you have two totally different teams. One is aged, experienced, and you know, has been here, done that. The other team, the 76ers, are new, but they are young. So we'll see. We'll see who prevails. Obviously, the beating the Bulls really wasn't a huge defeat for them because of the Bulls, you know, lacking everybody. They've been injured up and down. Obviously, the big one is D. Rose. And Joakim Noah wasn't playing as well. And those are two big, big injuries for the Bulls. So we'll see if they can step up and beat Boston. I don't know who's going to win that series. I got to think Boston would probably win, but it'll be a long series for sure. And on the other side, the Spurs and the Thunder are waiting. I'm not sure who they're going to – well, yeah, there's a – I guess, well, they have the bracket. Winner of this game – yeah, if the L.A. wins the series, they're going to play the Thunder, because the Thunder actually are the 2 seed. Like, obviously, with the best center in that – you know, with Bynum and Gasol, They're going to have world peace back on defense. Kobe is still a great scorer. I don't think he compares to Durant at this time. Kobe obviously is, but he's still there. I mean, Kobe can do anything. But Durant's just, he's just a freaking nature. Both finishing very, very close. Pretty much identical on the points per game. And then the Spurs will be facing either the Clippers or the Grizzlies. Grizzlies obviously gave them trouble in the past, so that might be a matchup problem for them. Spurs obviously really talented, though. I can't really see them having a problem with either one of those two. But like I said, the Grizzlies have been giving the Spurs problems. They beat them last year, I believe. But that team's been surprisingly good. Winner of Coach of the Year was Popovich. I believe Tony Parker was third in MVP voting, in my book. And the team's just same players, but the team is just playing really good. So the Spurs and the Thunder should face each other in the conference finals. If that were to happen, I have to pick the Thunder. I just think that they're a stronger team. So I see the Thunder making it to the finals. And yeah, regardless of who beats who in the East, the Heat will be on. They're going to prevail. They're my team, but they're just the strongest team. If that happens, the Heat do not have the home field. And they're going to have to play a 2-3-2 series, just like they did against Dallas in 06, which they ended up winning all three games at home and then winning game 6. So I honestly just think that the Heat are the best team. I want to root for other teams in the West, mainly because of the home field. I mean, if it's anybody else but the Spurs and the Thunder, then the Heat will have home field. So that's really what I want. But at the same time, you know what? I'm ready for the challenge. That's the main reason why I didn't like the Rose. I wanted to face the Bulls full strength in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, let's do it. But it's not going to happen this year. And, I would love nothing more than to play a big team in the finals, man. I don't want any doubters, it'll be too bad you didn't face this team in the finals. Let's bring it, I'm not afraid of anybody facing the Heat. So we'll see how the NBA shapes up in the playoffs. And it's kind of late for the for the stat of the week. Just want to talk about Hamilton's 4 home runs. I think I talked about earlier, he went 5 for 5 with 18 total bases. I believe he had 8 RBIs, and that's only been done 5 times now. So very rare. I mean, think about it, it's 250 no-hitters, and how great it is to see a no-hitter, and 4 home runs has only been done 4 times prior to this. So crazy. Marlins actually just finished up a road trip, 3 against San Diego, 3 against San Francisco, and 3 against Houston, finishing 8-1 on the road trip. Despite a lot of extra inning games, a lot of blown saves, the Marlins have prevailed on the road. It's tough to win extra innings on the road, but they've done a great job. Josh Johnson actually pitching well yesterday in a no decision because of a run given up in the ninth, but it's good to see him back and playing well.
Well, Kobe Bryant has more playoff appearances and wins than the entire Nugget team combined, and over 3,000 more points than the entire Nugget team has ever scored in the playoffs.
So I thought that was interesting. I'm going to kick it off right now with – I'm going to get into my top 3 plays of the week starting now, and let's kick it off number 3.
Back in, has the ball, and pounds his way inside. Now there's the long pass. Reed. All that was from Marino to Cooper. What a pass by Chalmers. 6 points for Dwayne Wade, all in the second quarter.
I don't know how many fast break Heat plays I've had in my top 3, but it's just amazing to see. They're so lethal on the fast break. That was a great pass, literally from under the hoop all the way across court. And, great play by the Heat after, I believe that was, it was game five when they en route to win the series in five games. Here is play number two.
Arrington. That was not pretty. Willer. McKee. So active. McKee to the rim. And the foul. We're talking about a career performance by JaVale McGee. He has surpassed that here this evening.
He's been fantastic. Just the
That was great. I mean, anybody that doesn't like Lakers, I'm one of them. I like to root against them. And, I mean, just the fact that it's also an underdog team here, and it was in L.A., Nuggets on the elimination, but somehow winning game five, that was a great play. McGee was just flying all over the place. He is the tallest high flyer. I mean, he can jump higher than anybody. He's already 7'7", so it's just a great dunk by him. Kind of a broken play. He just didn't know what to do with the ball. He looked at the rim, said, all right, let's just run towards the rim and jump as high as I can. He just totally dunked it hard, man. It was crazy. Bench erupted. And here is my number one play. I'm going to – 2 minutes long is all the four home runs that Josh Hamilton hit. So here it is.
And sends the first pitch to deep center field, and Jones reaches up, can't get it.
I hope he didn't get hurt because he extended his arm and it hit right on top of the wall. Well, Arrieta, like so many pitchers, started Josh off with an off-speed pitch, but he didn't keep it down. He got it up. And Josh, who loves to swing at the first pitch, took advantage of it and knocked it right out of the ballpark.
Well, hit to left field, and Chavez looks up, another two-run homer. Three in a row for Josh Hamilton.
Well, he hit a hanging curveball the first time up, and that time it was a fastball that he hit to left field.
Look at the two homers and a double. High, deep. Center field, Jones at the wall, a three-homer game for Josh Hamilton. And, of course, it's a two-run blast.
And, of course, Elvis is on base. Well, at those last five at-bats, four home runs and a double. I think they better throw him a pitch he can't hit next time up.
How about an intentional walk no matter what has happened before? We have been. How about another? To center field, number four, Josh Hamilton, on an unstoppable tear in Baltimore.
With a standing ovation from the Orioles crowd, too. This is like the home run derby in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it was crazy. I fell asleep, woke up, and the first thing I saw was that, and I was like, ah, crazy. Just got about 10 minutes left. I have not talked really some MLB. I'm going to end the show with some, not too many games today. Detroit up on Oakland, 10-2. That's in Oakland. Texas facing Baltimore. Like I said earlier, Texas losing five, giving up six runs. The pitcher for Texas actually gave up five. Home runs, all five solo home runs. He gave up five runs total, five hits, actually. All five hits were home runs in a losing effort. That's the first pitcher since 1918 to give up five home runs and strike out more than 10. He did 12 strikeouts. So just a crazy Baltimore-Texas series. Like I said, obviously, the four home runs 2 days ago in the series. So it's a weird way to end it. Texas at Baltimore for game two. Texas winning this one 7-3. Tampa Bay facing New York. Tampa Bay yesterday down 1-0 in the ninth inning, and no Mariano Rivera due to his injury, done for the season due to just a torn ACL. He was just catching fly balls before the game and just fell wrong on the warning track. So the new closer, gave up 4 runs yesterday. He broke the tie. It was a 1-1 after 1 run was scored, and then a 3-run home run was hit by Matt Joyce, who actually twisted his ankle trying to stand upright after the swing. So he's just watching the home run go as he's like on the ground. He ended up running around the bases, and the Rays won 4-1. So they're going to have to somehow replace that Mariano somehow. They're having trouble so far. So they won 5-3 today at home. Washington went into Pittsburgh today and won 4-2. Cleveland winning at Boston 8-3. Boston continues to struggle at the bottom of their division. Toronto winning 6-2 at Minnesota. In the American League East, Baltimore on top, tied with Tampa. They're both 20-12. Toronto 18-14. The Yankees 17-14, and the Boston Red Sox down there in the bottom, 7.5 games back at first at 12-19. And the Central, Cleveland leading that division 18-13. They're 2.5 games up on Detroit. Chicago's 3.5 back. Kansas City 6.5 back. And the Minnesota Twins at 8-23, having a bad year. They're 10 games back already. Texas leading the AL West. No surprise. That should be a cakewalk for them throughout the rest of the season. They're 21-11. Oakland's not having a bad year. They're 4.5 back, though. Seattle 6.5, and LA not doing good. They're 7 games back. Pujols finally hit his home run. That actually could have probably been them a top 3 plays. Took him long enough. Took him over 20 games to get his first home run. That team with the big acquisitions of also C.J. Wilson, they need to start winning some games. They're the only team that can challenge Texas here. Texas might be the best team in the MLB, but the Angels obviously have a lot of talent, so you'll see them gradually, I assume, after Pujols. Yeah, Pujols has a late start. He'll be there. Once he starts getting hot, we'll start winning some games. It should be a tight race towards the end of the season. In the National League East, Nationals still on top, 19-12. Right behind them is Atlanta. They're a half game back. The Mets, surprisingly, only a game back. Miami, after their impressive 8-1 in their last 9 games, they're only 3 back. They're 1 game above 500, and the Phillies not doing well. Still without Utley and Howard, they're 14-18, 5.5 games back. The sixth team in El Central, the St. Louis Cardinals, actually, without Pujols, and the acquisition of Beltran has really paid off, at least so far. Beltran hitting, I believe he's got 10 home runs or something like that. So the Cardinals are above on top of the NL Central at 20-11, 3.5 back at Cincinnati, and then 6 back is Houston. Pittsburgh, 6 games back as well. Chicago Cubs are 7 games back, and the Milwaukee Brewers are 7 back. So lots of Prince Fielder. I think they're definitely feeling the effects. And the final division is the NL West. The Dodgers leading that 20-11. They're going to run away with this one, I believe. San Francisco 5 games back, and they're lost with they're done with Pedro Sandoval with the injury. He'll be back in maybe 2 months. Arizona 2.5 back. Colorado 2.5 back, and San Diego 9.5 back. Colorado could make a run. They have the personnel there, but LA should run away with that division. No question. And just really quick to keep you up to date with the stats, your home run leader in the MLBs, no surprise, is Josh Hamilton, hitting 4 home runs in 1 game this early in the season. Definitely beefs that up. He has 15. Don't forget about Matt Kemp with 12. Granderson back to where he was last year, and he has 11. And I was right. Beltran has 10 home runs. He also Brian Braun, Jay Bruce, Adam Dunn. Amazing Adam Dunn still hitting home runs, man. He's going to get to 500 easily. And Edwin Encarnacion has 10 home runs as well. Your RBI leaders, Josh Hamilton, of course, leading with 38. Andre Eaton, teammate of the Dodgers, has 30. Encarnacion has 28. Beltran with 27. Matt Kemp also with 27. No surprise, home runs and RBIs usually go hand-in-hand. Let's look at the stolen base stats. Emilio Bonifacio actually leading it for the Marlins, 15 stolen bases. He's 15 for 15. Even though he's been struggling a little bit, he's been stealing bags. So that's been a huge factor for the Marlins in winning games. And last thing is the average. Josh Hamilton, good Lord, Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Hamilton has a very early start. You know what? It was Matt Kemp, and last week, and now this week, it's all Josh Hamilton leading this is all of baseball. Triple Crown is leading to win the – well, the Triple Crown's categories are three categories. It's average, home runs, and RBIs. Matt Kemp close to doing it last year. Triple Crown hasn't happened in ages. It's hard to have power and average and lead. I mean, this is – Josh Hamilton – and the Triple Crown is only between leagues. You have to just be on top of your league. You don't have to – so Josh Hamilton doesn't have to compete against anybody in the National League. He just has to – for the Triple Crown, he just has to worry about the AL. So actually, technically, Matt Kemp playing for the Dodgers, he's in the NL. So both these players actually have a good chance at the Triple Crown. But to be leading all those three categories in the entire baseball is phenomenal. I know it's early, but definitely got to look at that. Josh Hamilton batting .395, Matt Kemp .385, and a couple notable. LeHaire batting .384. I've honestly never heard of him. John Jay for St. Louis batting .379. David Wright, Derek Jeter there batting .326, and Call batting .361. David Ortiz actually batting .352. So those are your leaders so far. And with that, I didn't think I'd get through an hour and a half, but very productive show tonight. I want to thank Scott Diaz for joining me and talking about boxing. I know a lot more just being the host than I did before the show was. You know, I know a lot more about boxing now. It's great, and I'm going to start getting into it. Like I said, it's just hard to get into it when you have to pay to watch every fight, but I understand, and I'm going to definitely look forward. I think Pacquiao's fight in a couple months versus Bradley, I believe, so we'll see how that goes. Just want to say thank you to all my listeners for joining me. I'll be back live next Thursday at 11 o'clock with another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap, and join Captain Frank of Dread and Ken every Tuesday at 10:30 on the Chip Shore Radio for this Dreaded Sports Talk. With that, I'm going to say thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you guys next week.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade, and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Green for the bomb! Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back to Schaefer, at the wall, gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southern Most Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.